This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin. When we have the opportunity to have this gentleman on the show, it's always great stuff because Mike is very well informed on Major League Baseball and does a great job of covering MLB for CBS Sports. He's Mike Exisa from CBS Sports, and he's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mike, good to have you with us again.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are well. I almost fell out of my seat in excitement when I read the story that you put up within the last hour at CBSSports.com. Bold predictions for every MLB team in 2025. I scroll down. I get to the Cleveland Guardians. Be still my heart. Two outfielders will hit 20 home runs. Oh, Mike, come on, man. You're not allowed to toy with me that way.
You know, I wrote that before they traded for Nolan Jones again. So, like, you could kind of see a path to maybe having 320 home runs.
Oh, my God, Mike, please.
Because it's been such a long time, right? Since Michael Brantley and I don't remember, it was 2016, maybe, I forget. But
Jin Soo Chu?
But, since Soo Chu before him, it's gone on for so long. And it's not like the Guardians have been bad. They made the postseason plenty. You're not getting much power from your outfield. And I just feel like this is the year they could kind of do it with Lane Thomas and Stephen Kwan. He's not really a power guy, but he did have 14 home runs last year. And he's kind of right at that age when guys have peak season. So, yeah, I could see it happening. And then they added Nolan Jones on top of that, which could help too.
Mike, you got the Guardians second behind the Twins.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is I look at all of your brethren at CBS Sports. Nobody likes the Guardians to win the Central this year. Or is it just easier to make them second? And if they do win, we'd be like, I thought they were going to be second, so I wasn't too far off.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think the Central might be the toughest division to pick. I think you kind of start with the White Sox at the bottom, and then the other four teams, I think you could put them in almost any order and defend it. It's kind of a jumbled mess there. And, you know, nobody really kind of stepped out this offseason and made, like, a huge upgrade. You know, the Royals didn't really do anything with their outfield, and Kansas City was just so healthy last season. It's just the kind of thing you can't really expect that to happen again. And, you know, the Tigers didn't really do much to upgrade their rotation. Well, they brought in Alex Cobb and he's already hurt, and the Jack Flaherty contract is structured in such a way that makes you think there's something not right with him physically. And they lost, I think they're down four center fielders this spring, so they're not great shape there. And You know, the Twins didn't, I mean, you kind of saw what they did last year. They were great for really like two-thirds of the season, and they just completely collapsed, and it's this, almost the same team. And I don't know. I just feel like those four teams there are, I mean, they could be separated by like four wins by the end of the season. They're just bunched so close together. I'd pick Cleveland second personally. I would not be shocked at all if they win the division again.
Mike Exisa joining us from CBS Sports. You look at the Guardians rotation. It's not the type of Guardians rotation that we're kind of used to seeing here. Tanner Bibee, great. You locked him up, good. Gavin Williams looks like he's healthy and good to go, and he could have a huge season. Then you got Luis Ortiz, who hasn't looked good so far. Ben Lively, who I think fooled everybody last year and pitched really well. And Logan Allen, who they were so high on last year, they sent him to Columbus and buried him and have said now he's a different kind of guy. Are you comfortable with the back three guys in that rotation?
You know, I am. I think Cleveland has earned the benefit of the doubt with the pitching, and you know, I'm a little disheartened to see what kind of Tristan McKenzie has become. He really hasn't been the same since his elbow injury a few years ago. But Luis Ortiz, I know he didn't have a great spring, but he's still kind of a like high-octane stuff guy that the Guardians have had success kind of maximizing there. I really like Gavin Williams. I know he didn't have a good year last year. I know he was hurt, and he just never really looked like the guy he was in 2023. But I'm still really high on him, and I feel pretty good about him. You know, that was one of those injuries last year. It's like if they would have had that guy in the postseason last year, maybe things are different in the ALCS. But I'm pretty high on him. I think they'll get something going with Ortiz. Maybe it doesn't happen right out of the gate, but over time, I think by the end of the season, you're going to look up and say, okay, maybe he's not an ace, but he's a pretty good starting pitcher, and considering just kind of the moves they made there to unload Jimenez's contract, I thought that was a pretty kind of like savvy series of moves there, because you were probably a year away from, you know, we can't move Jimenez at all if he doesn't start hitting again. So I don't know if I'm comfortable. I feel like there's maybe like two teams in the sport that I'm comfortable with the rotation. It's like the Mariners and the Phillies and everybody else just like, well, hope for the best. But I think Cleveland is certainly on the benefit of the doubt with their pitching. I think they'll be okay.
Mike, as I sit here and I still try to figure it out, I'm going to leave judgment until I see what happens during the season. But the whole letting Josh Naylor, trading him away and then bringing in Carlos Santana, can you give me the positive on that for the Guardians? Like, because I think a lot of people want to say, I don't understand it, and I'm trying to find a way to understand. I like Carlos Santana. We liked him when he was here the first time. Sure. But it's like, I'm still trying to figure it out, and I'm going to let it play out before I pass judgment on it, but I'm just curious your thoughts.
Yeah, that was one of those moves that were really two moves that confused me, because Cleveland weren't a great offensive team, and you just traded one of your better hitters, and Carlos Santana has obviously been a great Guardian throughout his career, but he's kind of at the tail end of his career. You traded offense for defense there when they really kind of needed offense, and you ended up spending basically the same amount of money. And I think ultimately it comes down to they really like Slade Ciccone, who they got in the trade. And again, Cleveland with their pitching development is so good that if, you know, I think you could look up in maybe 6 months or less than that, really 3 months, and Ciccone's maybe one of their better starters. That wouldn't completely surprise me. I just think they just really like him. They got the draft pick in the trade as well. They just see it as we could kind of use this money in a different way. We think, you know, Santana's still really, really good against lefties, and I just think they can think more of Santana's bat, and obviously his glove is great. And they didn't want to lose Naylor for possibly nothing after the season, so they got the draft pick, they got the pitcher. I think it was just about making sure they didn't lose Naylor for nothing, and you know, they replaced him with kind of a familiar face there. I didn't love that kind of move there, but I guess I could see it. I guess I could understand it from their perspective.
That makes sense.
Mike Exisa joining us from CBS Sports. Mike covers Major League Baseball. We here tend to try to be optimistic about our teams. And with Travis Bezzana, number one overall pick, the optimistic thought has been maybe if everything goes well and he goes down to AA and kicks butt and goes up to AAA for a little bit, we could see him this year. Realistically, when could the number one overall pick of last year's draft be in Cleveland? Do you think it's this year or are you thinking 2026?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's probably – maybe the earliest is maybe June or July, probably closer to July. You know, I don't think they traded Jimenez specifically because, okay, we have Bezzana coming, we got to make room for him. I think a lot of that was we got to get rid of this contract while we can. And it just so happens that the number one pick last year plays the same position, so it kind of lined up nicely for them. I think maybe July would kind of be a good outcome there. I don't know if they're counting on it. I don't know if they're going into a season saying, okay, you know, This is our like trade deadline acquisition, so to speak, where we're getting Bazan in the lineup. I think we could see him this year. You know, we've seen kind of the last few years that, you know, it's really hard to be a rookie in baseball these days. Even Jackson Chirio with the Brewers last year, he was pretty bad for 2 months. Jackson Holliday was pretty bad when he came up last year. It's not a guarantee he's going to hit, but there's a pretty clear path now. Now that Jimenez has been traded, I think we'll see him in the summer, closer to the second half.
Were you surprised when Terry Francona went to the Reds?
Yeah, I thought he was done. I thought he was, you know, he kind of physically had, because he had so many surgeries, right? It wasn't like he gave up baseball because he was tired of the sport and wanted to spend more time with someone. He just physically couldn't do it. And I guess just really like the time off has really done him good. You know, I didn't see him this spring, but I've heard that he's basically just like in better shape now. He's kind of just physically like in better shape. Like he's healthy and kind of got the itch, and you know, he has some ties to Cincinnati from when he played. So I guess it makes sense. I was surprised. I thought he was just, you know, it was time to move on and retire and kind of live the retired life. But you know, with these guys, it's baseball is their life. So I kind of understand coming back.
What did you think when you heard the news that Nolan Jones was coming back to Cleveland and a middle infielder is going to Colorado after they, you know, sent Nolan Jones to Colorado for a middle infielder?
Yeah, I thought it was a good move for Cleveland. I didn't really understand what the Rockies are doing there. They're like, they have like four other Tyler Freeman types. It just doesn't make sense for their team. And I would have much rather have seen things through with Nolan Jones. And I know he was so bad last year, but I would have rather seen things there. For Cleveland, it's, you kind of get a player you need, someone who could hit the ball out of the park. You know the guy because you had him in your system for how long and how many, you know, Tyler Freeman. I don't really know what he does for you at this point because you've got, oh God, I got Daniel Schneeman. You've got all these like utility guys who you only got so many roster spots, right? And it made more sense to kind of add somebody who could hit the ball out of the park instead of somebody who could go catch the ball and run fast. Because you've got guys who could do that. And Jones can do that too. I mean, he stole a lot of bases as well. So I really like that trade for Cleveland. I don't really understand what the Rockies are doing, but that's like nothing new for them.
Is Jones a guy that you want to see at the very least platoon in right field with Jonkenzie Noel, or could he be... Could he become an everyday starter?
I think you platoon him to start. You know, Will Brennan is—I don't know how much he's really moving the needle for you. And I think with Jones, you should really see things through there and give him a chance to, at least against Dryde, send him out there. And if he comes out the gate strong and he's hitting well and he's going to play good defense anyway, if he's hitting well, I think you start putting him in there every single day. You just put him in good position at first, put him in good matchups, and see where it goes from there. But, I would play him over there every day for sure.
Mike Exisa joining us from CBS Sports. In the column that you just put in, the bold predictions for every team, right underneath the Guardians, you have the Colorado Rockies with Ryan Feltner will be an all-star. Ryan's from here. Ryan's been on the show. He's a good kid. We've been pulling for him. Injured, you know, when he got hit in the face with a line drive. Why do you think Ryan Feltner can put it together this year?
Yeah, you know, just talking to people in the game, he's one of those guys where it's like if you get him away from Coors Field, you kind of get him with a team that kind of knows what it's doing with pitching, he has a chance to really kind of take off just because he's got a very wide arsenal. You know, the thing every team is looking for right now is like the next Seth Lugo who's got like seven pitches and can throw them all at any time. And he's not as extreme as Lugo, but it's that kind of like approach where he can throw anything at any time. He's got a lot of just so many different kind of pitch shapes and velocities. And I don't know if he's ever going to kind of become what he can be with the Rockies, but I know there's a lot of teams that really like him and would like to kind of pry him loose if they ever made him available. So I just kind of went out on a limb and figured, you know, if anyone in that team is going to put it together and be an all-star kind of out of nowhere, he would be my pick just because I know so many people in the game like him as a pitcher.
Last question for me. What do you think the sophomore season is going to be like for Stephen Vogt here compared to his freshman year? Man, everyone should have a freshman year like he had, huh?
Yeah, you know, the bullpen made him look really smart at times, which isn't to say he wasn't a good manager, but when you have that kind of bullpen and you kind of like do anything and nothing's going to backfire you on you, it's easy to kind of, that's how managers win manager of the year, right? Like, you know, the bullpen makes him look smart. Things went really well last year, and they did have some adversity in midseason, right? You know, they kind of fell down the standings and had to kind of fight for the division title there. You know, I never really know what the ex-player who has, like, no managerial experience. I know Vogt had some coaching experience, but he never managed in the minors. Teams are gravitating towards that kind of profile more now, but I never really know what to expect, and he was great last year, and it seems like the players love him. I have no reason to think that he would he's any kind of liability, or he looks like he's like the next great manager there.
Guardians win the division? What do you think, Mike?
I picked them second, so I'm going to say no, but they're going to be right there, I think.
Great to have you with us again.
Thanks,
thank you,
Mike.
Very much. Look forward to reading everything from Mike Exisa at CBSSports.com, and go there right now. You'll smile if you're a Guardians fan who's looking for outfield power like I've been for about 15 years. Mike, thank you.
Yep, sure thing.
Mike joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the division,
it's hard to find.
Says you're going to be right there.
It's hard to find anybody that's picking them, though, to win.
Well, Andy, why would you?
Because they went to the LCS last year. I mean, someone's got to think.
And on the surface, have done nothing to improve the team. Is that fair to say?
They didn't do major things. How's that sound? They didn't do major things to make the team better.
I would agree with that. On the surface is the way I'm going to put it. For instance, I think Nolan Jones could be a nice upgrade for the lineup over Will Brennan. Could be. Let's see it. We've got to see it still.
Sure.
But, you know, he's had some success. If he could replicate what he did in Colorado, great. That would be an upgrade. You asked Mike about the Josh Naylor, Carlos Santana move. To me, you know how that works out? It works out if Kyle Manzardo is really good. I think it hinges on Kyle Manzardo more than Carlos Santana. At least I hope so. I can't imagine you made that. I would have understood the trade had you told me we're going to clear a spot for Kyle Manzardo and he's going to get 500 at-bats. Instead, you put a roadblock in his way who happens to be a switch hitter.
I agree with that. I think that's one of those quandary questions that you get into in the offseason. You're like, okay, what were they thinking with Manzardo?
I don't know.
Are you just trying to throw as many darts at the dartboard to make sure that you're ready to go?
Yeah. To me, the position was, all right, this is either going to be Josh Naylor's or Kyle Manzardo's. They're so geeked up about him that you'd move on from Naylor because he's going to be a free agent at the end of this year. And Manzardo will get the job, if not, you know, now at the end of this coming season. And instead, do they bring in Carlos Santana? Now, maybe that's just for a year. It could be this. Okay, tell me this. Is this something? Well, is
they're playing
it?
That game?
Santana comes in. You know, he's pushing 40, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's been on numerous teams over the last 7 years. Let's say he comes in, he's okay, but so's Manzardo. And the trade deadline gets here. And you have John Kenzie Noel who can play first base. And you have Nolan Jones who can play first base.
Maybe you need some pitching and you're making a trade.
You move Carlos Santana before the trade deadline to a contender that needs a bat. I mean, that's a possibility. We haven't really talked about that, but I think it's a possibility.
Yeah.
And you have Ralphie Velasquez in the minors, who you drafted. And Ralphie's probably a year or two away. So, I mean, there are guys there. Obviously, Carlos is a short-term fix here because of his age. I mean, that's obvious. I wonder if he even finishes the season here.
Yeah, he would be an atypical guy that you would probably give up at the trade deadline. I agree. I can see that too.
And if it
I think these arguments you're making are pretty good.
If it goes south, Andy, then I think they would definitely trade him. Don't you?
Yes, without a doubt. Yeah, he'd be the first guy that. Yes.
I would think so too.
Because somebody would want a veteran like that for
you
the playoffs.
You truly have three other guys that can play first base. Manzardo, John
this whole Kenzie, right side of the infield thing turned Nolan into Jones. A quandary once the season ended last year.
Did you think it was interesting? I did. Exisa said Bazana mid-season. This year, he thinks he could be up here.
I think we agree with that that's the earliest we'll see him.
I do too.
Unless there's some kind of injury or he just is on fire to start the season. You're like, we can't leave him down there.
I think Mike was even more optimistic than we are.
Put it this way. If he's up before the break, then he's probably going to be someone who's going to have a shot for rookie of the year.
Yeah. Terry's in Cleveland. Terry.
How you guys doing?
Hey, Terry, what's up, man?
I'm always coming at you, Jeff and Andy. Y'all ain't made me a friend of the show yet, but that's okay.
Okay, you're a friend of the show right now because you begged for it. That's good.
I'm smiling.
He asked. He didn't beg.
No, that's true. He asked. Okay.
Well, I got a couple of problems with the Guardians and a couple of questions. Now, I disagree with Andy. I agree with you, Jeff. This is not about they did something. They have gotten absolutely nothing to me this offseason. And the reason why I say that, because you have to spend money to do something. And that they're not going to do. Now, my question
they
to
spent
y'all,
more money on Carlos Santana, though, than I think most people thought
which
they
were. We're still trying to figure out.
You need a bet. So what your team needs? You need a power bet. So you gave up one bet for somebody that you had that's really not going to do too much of nothing, maybe. But I'm saying they don't address their needs. They address money things that save them money. The guy just said, y'all interview said, the Jimenez trade was more about what? The contract?
Yes.
It wasn't about Bazzano coming up ready to go, but it was more about them getting ready to this dude and take their chances.
And Terry, the reason with that is, and you know what? I get this one. Though he's a phenomenal, phenomenal defensive player, his bat didn't really improve since the time he signed that contract. And when he signed the contract, he was having a good offensive year, and they were going to be on the hook for pretty good money, you know, coming up in the next couple of years for just a glove at second base. I've had a former major leaguer tell me, I don't need just a glove at second base. I need some pop if I'm going to spend that kind of money.
But that's the question. I'm saying, show me where the pop is at on this team. Because that catching position is absolutely horrible. Now, I mean, I know, Nate, we're going to give him a chance. But I'm mystified why Hedges keep getting on this team when he's allergic to a bat. So it's not like he's a hell of a defensive catcher either.
No, I'm just he's not pretty good behind this. The plate, though, Terry. He's pretty good.
But would you hang your hat on him just for defense? No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you got too many places where you don't got no offense. Now, here we go again, taking Nolan Jones back. Why did we get rid of him in the first place?
Well, don't get me going on that.
And all I'm saying is this. I just think that they're so busy trying to save costs. Because, listen, you, Andy, and me know Jose Ramirez's contract is the boost of the century. I'm talking about the high boost. Because he would have went anywhere else, he would have commanded so much money.
Yeah,
but he liked it here. And that's the only reason why this team is still so appealing to the fans, because Jose is there. I mean, you just think about it. The turnover is ridiculous. Now, okay, we got Kwan. We got Jose. Give me something else, Jeff. I mean,
all right,
what do I got?
I got Terry. I got one for you. And Terry, thank you, friend of the show, right there, Terry.
Friend of the show, congratulations.
Don't you feel a lot better with Lane Thomas in center field this year?
I do. I was looking at that yesterday, and I was
Lane's a pretty good offensive player, and I don't think we're giving that enough credit.
By the way, we have Class A too. He said that at the end. I was like, wait, what? No, we have Class A.
Well.
We do.
Look around the outfield. Steven Kwan's a terrific player and a great glove. Lane Thomas, pretty good glove in center field. He's not Miles Straw, and he's not Miles Straw offensively, thank God. So you've got a pretty good bat now in center field, and you have two guys in right field who I've been clamoring for this type of a player in this lineup. You have two guys who can scare the bejeebers out of a pitching staff. And two guys who you might be able to get out on a slider out of the zone. So you've got some swing and miss guys there. That's okay. Swing and miss guys can, you know, they can change games. I mean, when John Kenzie Noel hit that ball out of the ballpark in the playoffs, it was just, oh my God. That was just, that's the type of thing that these guys might be able to do for you. So I'm excited about the offense in right field. I wasn't excited when I thought Will Brennan was going to be getting 350 at-bats. And I don't mean to, you know, be harsh on Will Brennan. I think Nolan Jones is potentially a significantly better offensive player. Not just better, significantly better. And so that helps. At first base, Santana's going to be what he is. He's going to hit you 20 home runs and drive in 70. Something like that, if he plays enough.
Yeah.
Manzardo, my fingers are crossed. Second base, I'm not optimistic about anything there except maybe Gabe Arias catching the ground ball.
But Bezzano down the road, I mean, I'm optimistic down the road.
I'm talking about Thursday.
Right.
I think Brian Rocchio, I'm hopeful that Brian Rocchio discovered.
Can we see playoff?
Some,
yeah, let's see playoff Brian Rocchio.
Yeah, that here it is. It's on its way. Jose at third, we know what he can do. It's, I mean, that's a no-brainer. And behind the plate, until Bo Naylor shows me that spring training was a mirage, I'm going to think he's a little better hitter and he's learned some things. So I'm a little more optimistic about the offense maybe than we've actually let on and talked about. Because if you actually break it down, you're better in center field offensively. Last year it was Tyler Freeman, you know, until you made the trade for Lane Thomas. And in right field, I'll take Nolan Jones over Will Brennan every day. And you mix in John Kenzie, Kyle Manzardo, Santana. Can Gabe Arias find a bat? I don't know. If he doesn't, he's not going to be here very long. You know, what's he get, Andy? A month? If he doesn't hit for a month and Juan Brito does in Columbus, they're going to make that move right away.
That's not going to take very long at all.
No. So Gabe, though he has the job right now, I don't think he has a long leash on that job. And hopefully Rocchio can hit. So, I mean, I honestly think a little bit more reason for optimism by guys here who were already here, maybe doing a little bit better.
I feel okay about the start of the season. I'm looking at this thing going, all right, no one really has a whole lot of trust in them. Nobody really thinks that they're going to win the AL Central. This isn't a much different feeling than last year, but I also think that in the equation, no one wants to piece together what a bullpen's going to look like. And you know how important that is. We all do. And, you know, I think the difference between being a, you know, what's the line? Everyone wins 60, everybody loses 60, right?
Yep. That's what you do with
so
the other.
It's what you do with the other
120, 42 games.
Yeah. So, and how many of those are based on your bullpen? Especially knowing that you, like, your feeling of trust is probably too deep in the starting rotation right now. Can you agree with that? Right now, going into the season, you can feel rock solid about your number one and your number two starters. I don't feel so great about the other three.
I don't feel great about the other three at all. However, I do feel great about the organization's ability to coach pitching. So though I'm not crazy about right now, Ben Lively, Ortiz, and Logan Allen as the final three guys in the rotation, I'm more than willing to sit back and say, Carl, coach them up. Organization, coach them up. Let's see what you have. Because, Andy, they have a track record. And I think they deserve credit for that. So, you know, on the outside looking in, it doesn't look like they've made huge strides to improve the team in the offseason. That said, I think they've earned our trust.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun season.
They seem to put a team out there every year that's able to compete. And I don't expect anything different this year. I really don't. Do you?
No, I expect what we've been kind of used to here. A team that's going to keep you through the summer. They're going to get you to September. And if things fall off there, then they... Yeah, I know, fingers crossed. I'm the same way.
It's Baskin and Phelps on the Fan.